It's Hugey. Hello, everybody. And this is the fifth or sixth time I've tried to record this intro. I don't know why, but today I'm unbelievably fucking stupid. It's terrifying, but a person who's not stupid is tonight's guest, is a great Colm Mochary, who you may know from, of course, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And before we get to that great interview, which covers quite a few topics, I've got to do a few plugs slash announcements. Happy to announce that at the time of recording this, the current plan is that I will be making my debut appearance of, or should I say, on Who Are These Podcasts on, I think it's October 9th. That's, of course, bearing changing plans. Hopefully it goes ahead. Also, a little plug, I want you to go check out a comedy podcast called Dork Side of the Ring. It comes out once every fucking 7 weeks, I don't know. It's basically me and Rad Rob, we will make fun of a certain issue in wrestling, pro wrestling. It's always fun to point out when stuff is shit, because that's what makes stuff like Get My Go funny, and it should be funny for everyone. If you're very much interested in seeing this video face, you could check me out on Adam Goldstein TV on YouTube. I did a really good long scale interview. I was in one of my very rare annual good moods. So I'd just seen Candyman. I was pissed off about it. And I kept ranting on and on. So hopefully you will enjoy that. Also, regarding this interview, check out the video version on Hugey Entertainment on YouTube. Okay, that's the only place you can see it. And if you happen to be a pro wrestling fan, check out Keeping the 100 Official on YouTube. That's the official YouTube channel for the controversial podcast from wrestling legends Conan and Disco Inferno. Now, onto this interview. Some of my diehard, loyal subscribers, and there's so many of you all, my fans, you losers. But anyway, what it is, as I've mentioned before, The rules of podcasting have changed, and it used to be that you were allowed to use songs and put songs and clips and stuff like that. So I had released this interview before I'd put a song in it. I don't know what song it was, but let's hope it was something by a strong female woman singing about her independence, you know what I mean? So that episode got taken down, so I'm now re-releasing the interview with Colm Mochary, where you'll hear him discuss such topics such as a disastrous comedy sketch of Charlie Sheen, trying to get a sitcom made with Chris Jericho, the pro wrestler, and on a more serious note, he talks about his memories of working with Tony Slattery. So if you're a fan of UK comedy, you'll know that Tony Slattery was at one point like the next big thing, and then sadly, as you see him today, he's had many mental, physical health breakdowns. It's quite a tragic tale, but we get a nice story out of that. What I'm going to do is I'm now going to insert the sponsors, okay? And when you come back, we're going to go right into the interview with the lovely Colm Mochary. So I'm going to say bye now, because I want to go. So once you hear me back, that's the interview. Don't panic. But I've got to say something about the interview. It's a little awkward in that Colm Mochary seems like a very nice guy, but he's a very liberal, woke celebrity. And as most people know, the woker the celebrity, the more they look down on you. And I kind of felt a little bit like he was being condescending at times. Whatever. Plus, I have to say, there's going to be some COVID questions in this. When I did this interview, COVID was a big deal. There was no vaccines, there was no sign of anything reopening. So that's why we talk about COVID, okay? We're not talking about it today, because today it's fucking an incredibly boring topic. Nobody has anything new to add, so stop talking about fucking COVID. But anyway, on with the sponsors, and we'll be back with the interview. See you very soon. Support to you for It's Hugey Hello is brought to you by Manscaped, who just so happens to be the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. You know what I mean? They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below the waist grooming needs. Everybody knows what it's like when you're trying to keep yourself clean or keep yourself special, you know, for that big night out. Just say you have to be going to a big concert, say, I don't know, AC/DC stadium show. There's about six of you going away. You know that, right, something's going down tonight, so I'm going to trim my hell's bells. Use the wrong thing, you're going to end up cutting your balls and you're going to be on the highway to hell, if you know what I mean. One of my hilarious jokes there. But that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. And when I tell you this is premium, I actually mean this is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. You gotta play it safe. You don't want to speed through that shit, cut one of your balls off. It's waterproof technology, so you can groom in the shower. It helps clean up easier. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. And if you're listening to me speak right now, and I hope you are, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that drunk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HUGEY at manscaped.com. At HUGEY at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And just as a little quick reminder, get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code HUGEY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code HUGEY, HUGEY. And thank you for the sponsorship, and on with the show. This fantastic 5-star, unbelievable, history-changing episode of It's Hughesy Hello has been sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's be honest. In my opinion, 2020 going into 2021 has been a hell of a year, if you know what I mean. Right. Personally, I feel like I've aged 10 to 12 years over the last 12 months and grown. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to, especially in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. Boing. That's not a sound effect. That's just one of my incredible, incredible skills. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew tablets help men achieve harder and stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, which is erectile dysfunction, by the way, you floppy penises. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations about your small penises, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, thankfully, and it ships right to your front door in a discreet package. The process is simple. You sign up at bluechew.com, B-L-U-E, like the color, chew, like the chew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription in days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. You don't like swallowing pills like quite a lot of us? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA. Thank you! And they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you can benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's the best thing. We've got a special deal for It's Hugie Hello listeners. You try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code HELLO at checkout. All you got to do, though, is just pay the $5 in shipping. That's bluechew.com with the promo code HELLO to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our podcast. And on with the show. Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGIE. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow, use the coupon code HUGIE, and do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere.
We're here live at the Friday Fart Zone. We've got the king of the farts here with us, Mr. Colin Mockery. Colin, do you know what word part of your name rhymes with?
No.
I'll give you a hint. It sounds like sockery.
Nothing's funnier than a fart noise.
I have one question for you, Mr. Sockery. This is an important question that I think we all deserve an answer to. During this COVID lockdown, how many hot babes have you banged during the lockdown?
Just the wife.
That is disgusting, and you can't say that word on the radio. But for just the one, you get the fart of the week.
Oh.
Welcome into the podcast now, the great Colin Mockery. Boss, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. And off mic, Colin mentioned to me that he's Scottish, and I officially accept your apology.
Yeah, I think we're both of our countries have had a lot of problems with the English just making these crude stereotypes about us. And we actually know it's the English who have some problems.
Exactly. Like we were saying it the other day on the third day into our drinking binge, that these unfair stereotypes that they come up with us are unfair. So then when we blew up the hospital earlier that day, we said that'll teach them to make fun of us for being stereotyped.
Exactly. I was too busy counting my money to actually go outside.
Exactly. And if anyone wants me to name drop, we blew up the hospital. It was me, Bono, Conor McGregor. There you go.
I was counting my money with Billy Connolly, Sean Connery, and Annie Lennox.
He is Scottish, isn't he?
Yeah.
Got a question for you. This is going to sound so dumb because, of course, Colin Mockery, one of the legendary stars of Whose Line Is It Anyway? That's you.
Oh, yep, okay.
Of course, it's improv comedy, and not as a lot of people think it's called improved comedy.
Yeah.
But it's a silly question, but do you think, as I know it sounds dumb, that do you think that people can actually learn to be funny?
I think people can learn to be funnier. I don't know if you can learn to be funny. I think you have to have... You have to be born with a certain way of looking at the world and having a sense of humor. But you can Yeah, I don't think you could start from scratch. You need a little thing to work on to make someone funny.
Yeah, because it's like Clint Eastwood was always going to talk like that, whether he became an actor or whether he worked at KFC.
Yeah, he'd never be a stand-up.
Yeah, I wish he would be more of a sit-down these days, really. But because it's weird, because you see so many people. Like, have you ever heard of an actor called Rainn Wilson?
Yes.
He went on the Jay Leno show once, whatever that shit was called. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad that I'm taking him to court.
Wow. You have some issues.
I do. Of I'm Funny magazine. But one of the famous co-stars used to work with on Whose Line Is It Anyway, in the English version, I should say, was Tony Slattery.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard, did you happen to see the documentary that came out about him a few weeks ago?
I didn't, but I heard a lot about it.
Yeah.
I actually saw Tony 2 years ago in Edinburgh. We did the festival together. It was a bunch of the British Whose Line people, and we did a live version of the show.
Well, I was wondering if, do you happen to have any good memories or stories of Tony Slattery?
I loved Tony. He, I don't have any stories of debauchery, unfortunately. I mean, I would usually see him in the show, which was fairly debauched. But no, whenever we would go out, always charming, always fun, funny guy.
Nothing dirty for the Friday Bart Zone.
No. Oh, we killed a man once, but. You know, it was a Friday. We had nothing else to do. It was mostly accidental. But aside from that, nothing. Everything, good times.
But that's England for you. I mean, like, what were you going to do, talk?
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, when you get the chance to kill, you know, they say when in Rome. Killed someone in England, you know?
Yeah, it's that famous saying.
But speaking of famous, one of the things you did fairly recently that I thought was, it seemed like a weird idea at the time, that you were a star on I'm Chris Jericho.
Yes.
With my best friend, who I met once a couple of years ago for about 9 seconds, Chris Jericho. What's that like doing comedy, or should I say acting with a guy like that? Because it's not just like if you're doing a scene with, say, Tony Slattery, and if you mess up a line, he messes up a line, you can go, oh, okay, don't worry about it. But Chris Jericho could sort of like slam you through a wall and jump off a ladder onto you. So do you have any stories or memories of working with the teeny tiny Chris Jericho?
I could take him. He's not that tough. We first time I met him was at a charity hockey game where he was a player and I was a sort of a celebrity coach. And then he did a guest appearance in one of the Whose Lines, a guest. And then through that, he asked me to do this this web series he was doing. And I did it twice. The first time we did an Olympic ribbon dance together. So that was exciting because I think we really sold it, although we had no experience or talent in that area. But we had like purple spandex on, very tight, some ribbons. It was very emotional. And he asked me back. So obviously I touched him in ways he'd never been touched before.
But at the same time, did you ever think, if he messes up, I can't roll my eyes, or just have to go, yeah, it's very nice?
Oh, no, I'd slap him.
Good.
It's the only way he learns.
That's the story for the headline. Colin Slattery wishes death upon Chris Jericho.
Oh, well, not death. I only killed that one time. I learned my lesson.
But they do say that one per country, then it's not a problem.
Well, no, if you do one a country, that's a problem. I like to think I nipped it in the bud before it became a problem.
I can't believe I'm talking to you about murder. It is good. This is going great. It's the Friday sure. Fart Zone.
Yeah. But Farts and Murder. It's like bread and butter.
That sounds like a show that we should work on.
Well, I'm up for anything.
I like the fart. He likes the murder.
It's the worst detective team ever.
One person you worked with a lot on the English version was Clive Anderson. I'm sure you've seen the legendary series where he get into a real, I guess you could call it like a bitch fit with the Bee Gees.
I did, yes.
What was that like? what was that like seeing such a car crash TV show, knowing that you could take the piss out of this man until he was covered in blood?
I think we all really enjoyed it. And, I mean, Clive is a lovely guy. On the show, he had this kind of character who was acerbic and very acidic and tended to put all of us from North America down. So it was nice to see him get... I just loved the way his eyes just got really wide and he just thought, "What? This wasn't supposed to happen." And with someone who had been involved with an improv show for so many years, you think he would have come up with a better way of handling it.
The thing about it that made me laugh so much is that it's kind of like one of the reasons why I get nervous talking to a guest such as yourself, because if you screw up and or annoy them, then it's like, how can I listen to Saturday Night Fever soundtrack and dance around naked after I've killed someone in England? Yeah. If I know that Robin Gibb just called me a wanker on TV,
it does. It will certainly taint the music for the rest of your life.
What was it like though when you worked with Clive Anderson? Was his, because as a viewer, he was always kind of grinning on people, and it was kind of a bit like, ah, keep out of it, keep out of it. Let the comedians do the work.
Well, you know, he used to be a barrister, so he just likes to talk and get in there. Especially he and Greg Proops would really get into it. And there were times we'd be sitting there going, you know, we have a show, so can we get some stage time? But again, that was mostly on the show. Off stage, again, we would go, we never murdered anyone together. But we would have, lovely evenings, dinners, drinks.
More like an M barrister, am I right?
I see what you're saying. Yes.
Did you ever think what would Greg Proops sound like if he didn't have a nose?
Weirdly, yes. I've thought about this a lot. And it really wouldn't make much difference. He's quite nasal to begin with. Without the nose, he'd be slightly, I think, less nasal.
Can you imagine Greg Proops talking to Roseanne Barr at Norm MacDonald's house with Adam Carolla being there and Gary Shandling is interrupting?
Yeah, there would just be dogs writhing within a 5 mile period radius.
There would be World War I survivors running and taking cover. They're like, it's happening again.
It is. Very distinctive voices. Yes.
But of course, you just started the 16th season of Whose Line Is It Anyway? That's just for the American version or in general?
Yeah. We had the 30th anniversary of the British one 2 years ago. We did like 4 shows at Royal Albert Hall, which was just seemed wrong in so many ways, but it was a good time. and the American, we started that in 1998. That went to 2004. Then there was a bit of a break where we were canceled, but no one told us we were canceled. So we kept thinking, oh, well, maybe we'll... And then around the 8-year mark, you think, no, I don't think we're coming back. And then with the internet, all these kids who weren't born when the original series came out started to really get into it. So they brought us back. You can't kill the show with a stick.
But of course, you're about to tour a show, with, is the tour still happening or just postponed?
Just postponed right now, yeah. Mm. You know, there's stuff happening, apparently.
If anyone's wondering about the tour, Colin is going on tour with Motley Crue and Def Leppard.
Yeah. It's so unlike anything my usual fans will see.
Well, what's it like, though, when you, of course, we'll talk about these shows in a minute. Do you ever feel like when you're doing a show, an improv show, you can almost tell straight away, well, fuck, that this guy stinks, or lady, women are unfunny as well.
Interesting. Yes. There are times where you can feel, sometimes you can get out of it. Sometimes you just, well, this is going to be a story. It's just going to suck the life out of everyone in the audience. It's going to be horrific. You can feel that flop sweat just go down the back. Every nerve feels alive. Your mind is in panic mode as you're trying to find something that will get you out of it, and nothing happens. And then 2 weeks later, you have a story to tell your friends.
Do you have any go-to tips for a feeling improvisation?
Try to blame the other people. Yeah. I find that works, and then leave the stage in a huff.
Is it like a muscle that you need to test out, or can you just jump into it at any fucking minute?
Yeah, some people can. But yeah, it is generally a muscle. I know if I haven't done it for a while, certainly one of those muscles gets flabby really quickly. So yeah, the more you do it, the more comfortable you are with it, the more relaxed you feel having absolutely nothing in front of a paying audience who have paid good money to see a show that you don't actually have at that moment. And everybody knows that and is fine with it until it goes horribly wrong, which luckily it doesn't for me. Some of the other guys, yeah.
Which, of course, brings me to Scared Scriptless. Excuse me. Which, of course, brings me to Scared Scriptless, which is one of the shows you're doing. When you come up with that sort of... Talk to me about Scared Scriptless. And you have no idea how hard I try not to say fuck there.
Yeah. No, well done. Brad Sherwood, who an old staple of the Who's Line, and I've been touring the show for like 17 years. Going around, basically doing a live version of Who's Line without the tall guy and the black guy. And we've gone all around the world. We've been to India, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we loved it there. We had a great time. Great time.
Did you kill anyone?
We didn't. Didn't have to. Everyone was great.
But I take it you take ideas from the audience.
Yep. But every scene is, yeah, the audience supplies everything.
But what is it when you're given like a shit idea? Do you ever just think like if somebody goes, like you go on location and you go, funeral. Did you ever just think, oh, you fucking shithead? Like, who speaks out loud when you've got nothing to say?
Well, that's when you're fortunate if you've been touched with brilliance and you just take everything that comes your way. Most of the work we do in our show is coming up with ways to ask the audience for a suggestion where they actually have to think a little, and we don't get the bad ones. Because usually, you know, when I was first starting improv, you'd ask for a job, you get gynecologist or proctologist. And it was always when you're doing a sound effect scene. And I always thought, you know what? One day we should bring up the person who suggested it, put them right there, and we'll do a sound effects scene about a proctologist, and we'll see how that goes. So we try to come up with things like, what was your great grandfather's job, or you know, what was the last thing you bought that was over $100? Where was the last location you made love? Something that makes, if it was a funeral, then you're still screwed, but. Something to play with.
But then talk to me about high-prov, because I don't even... did I say that right?
Hip-prov.
Hip-prov, of course it is. I'm a fucking idiot.
No, you're not the only person who's done this. I mean, it's a combination of hypnotism and improv. So to us, it seemed natural to be called hip-prov, but so many people call it hype-prov. So I don't think you should beat yourself up for that.
But tell me, because it's 20 random volunteers from the audience will be hypnotized.
Yeah.
Does that ever scare the shit out of you?
Oh, has it ever not?
Yeah.
The first time we did the show was the first time we did the show because we couldn't rehearse it. And I would say to Assad, who's the hypnotist, hey, if I ask them to do this, will they do it? And he would say, I don't know, man. Yeah, depends on the subject. They might, or they might just look at you. So that was my pep talk for our first show. And it's quite scary. He brings up 20 people, hypnotizes them, gets it down to the best five. And then they and I form an instant improv troupe and do a show. And it's been great, but it's always terrifying because you're looking into dead eyes, which I'm used to from Who's Line, but there's still, these people who you've just met and you have to build up this quick trust with them. But it's been fun. It's kept me on my toes for sure.
Do you ever wonder, worry that you're doing the show, doing the hype, hypnosis show? I forgot it already. Do you ever worry, it's like, what if we get somebody up and we unlock some sort of horrific childhood trauma and the whole evening is going to be destroyed?
I think we came close once. We do this scene where we do a funeral for a pet. And so we have all the members there, and Asad goes, this is your family pet that you loved. You're very sad about this, very sad. And one woman was almost hysterical, where Asad actually had to bring her out of it and send her back. And I thought, wow, she must have had a really close relationship with some dead animal.
Is that on the internet?
I can't find it anywhere.
Well, I will look, especially the dead animals part.
Okay.
But do you think there's a chance that when it comes to improv, that some people just sabotage it accidentally on purpose?
Yeah, there are some people. I immediately thought of something. We did shows between the two versions of Who's Line. We did a show called Improvaganza, which was in Vegas with a live audience. Still, as I look back, it seemed like from day one it was a bad idea. But one night, Charlie Sheen joined us, and we were improvising a scene. And every time he talked about making love to dead hookers. That made the scene very difficult to keep going. I was trying to make it that they were experts in macrame, who had suddenly fallen ill, and to try to revive them, but it didn't work. And it was one of those shows where you just went, oh, well, okay, this is over now. Time, we still got another hour to go. Let's just get through this, everybody.
I used to be, well, I guess I sort of still am walking around the house doing it, an impressionist. Would you like to reenact that Charlie Sheen shit show?
Sure.
Okay. Tell you play Colin Mockery.
Okay, I got this. Yeah.
You know that guy?
Yep, very good.
He's the guy from England. I'll do the star of Hot Shots 2.
Oh, wow. So you picked his best one.
Yeah.
Not Platoon, not Wall Street, Hot Shots 2. Co-starred Ryan Stiles.
Why would I want to see a film about a whole street of walls? That's okay. Boring, you know?
No, understandable. Maybe you should catch it, though, just to see how wrong you are.
Okay, I'll rent it out.
All right, so here's the scene. Here's Charlie. Hey. I'm so nervous. This is my first day at the monastery.
Yeah, I've had a lot of monasteries, too. I'd one built my rich house, because I'm very rich, where I have sex with whores, some living, some dead.
Ah, well, I can see why you've come here to experience this kind of life, perhaps to put that life behind you and now put your thoughts and mind into something more honorable and more pure.
Well, it's better to come here than inside of a dead whore.
Interesting parable that you've just shared with me.
A lot.
But yes, sometimes to have sex with someone you've paid money to is an empty experience, whereas you enter a monastery, you are filled with the glory of what is around you.
Well, what's around me is the underpants of dead whores. Hookers, I should say. Hookers.
Oh, God. That's what started happening right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Still, I don't think there'd be anyone who wouldn't want to see Hot Shots 3. Have we got to that yet?
We haven't got to that yet. Oh, or have we? No, I think just two.
God damn it, there is no God. But with the course of the COVID and all these, you've heard of that stuff?
Yeah, we get newspapers.
Yeah. How are you going to do the hip? Oh, fuck me.
You actually had it.
Hip prov?
Yeah.
Hip prov. How are you going to do that with these restrictions once it comes back?
That is a damn fine question. I wish I had a damn fine answer for you because I have no idea. I have no idea what any of this, they're talking, like all my work is basically in theaters and they're talking about maybe having it so that the theaters are a third full with everyone social distance, which always helps in a comedy show to have everybody apart from each other in various spots of the theater because that really focuses the laugh. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, if I wanted to go to a third full comedy show, I would go to an Aziz Ansari stand-up gig. Yeah!
I feel bad I don't have a fart machine.
Oh, that wasn't the machine. I had a big lunch.
Oh, good. Well done.
Because what's happening here is, and holy Jesus, I'm so happy, they're finally opening up the pubs next in 2 weeks. And I'm ready to fucking dance. Plus, it was announced, say around 5 o'clock tonight, that the COVID risk has been dropped. So it really seems like we're getting back to normal and maybe there could be cinemas opened and concerts, stand-up shows. So it seems like slowly, slowly we're getting back to it. But thankfully, people in America are lucky because that guy, Donald Trump, do you know him?
I have read a few things about him, yes.
He thinks it's all a hoax, so...
Whew, oh, yeah,
and he wouldn't lie.
No, it was... He believes it was started by the Democrats to discredit him. Somehow they got every country in the world to somehow pretend they were infected and raise the death tolls. So, yeah. And he has a big rally this weekend. He made everyone sign waivers that if they do get sick, not to sue him. To me, that's a red flag.
But I can't. I just think the fact his problem is he cares too much about people. That's his big problem.
You do get that just from looking at him. Just one look at him, and all you see is this golden man bathed in a light that we can never understand. You can just see the empathy he feels for everyone just explode from his body.
And people shouldn't be worried that all these concerts and stuff have been cancelled because Trump's going to sing all the songs anyway at this intelligence rally that he's working on.
Yeah. And the best part is he only knows the first line of every song ever written. So the concert will be quite short.
Mm. But everybody knows the first line of a song's always... better.
Yeah.
For example,
not always correctly though.
Yeah. For example, like if you heard of that band Queen.
Queen, yes.
Well, I like his song "Purple Rain" that he sang with his guitar player Mick Jagger.
I see what you're doing. All right, you seem a little confused about things. And what's the name of the show I do with the hypnotist?
Whose horse is it anyway?
No, see, no, you've lost it all. You just lost it all.
Hip shake.
So, oh, well, you're half right.
Horse shake.
Depends on the night.
Dead hooker shake.
Oh, here we go.
But just that one thing, though, about Trump. I know you're not a fan of him at all, but do you feel that in comedy, like with stuff like Saturday Night Live and shit like that, the Trump jokes are getting really sort of dragged out and like overdone? Like, because it's kind of, for me, it's kind of like, you know, it's not really that funny that there's a mental man. And so, like, it's different. It's not like if you get on a bus to work and, oh, there's that mad fucking guy over there. Mm-hmm. You just deal with it. But this isn't a mad guy on the bus for 20 minutes. Like, he's in charge of America.
Yeah, it's interesting watching all the late night shows do their monologues or sketches about him, because there's a bitterness to it all now. It's like, what more can we say? This guy's an idiot. Why is he still running our country? Why can't we stop this? This is what he did. Try to find humor in that, because this is insane. It is, it's like, it started off as a good joke and then just went horribly wrong.
I've got some hilarious Trump jokes for you if you'd like to laugh your arse off.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, you could get up on the stage and be all like, hey, I don't know about you, but I think the commander-in-chief, it should be called the tweeter-in-chief. And then you hold the mic out and let everybody laugh into the microphone.
Oh, interesting.
Plus, here's the closer. You go, a lot of people have a hairdo, but if you look at the president, he's got one of those fucking hair don'ts.
Good night, everybody. You just walk off basking in laughter and love.
But one thing I got to ask, it's kind of a serious topic, though. Pretty much at the time of recording this is June the 19th, on Twitter, there was kind of an outbreak of stories of from the Me Too movement from within the comedy industry. And we'll not name names in case anybody, the accusations turn out to be false or anything, just so that we don't get you sued, because I never get in trouble for anything.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But do you think that that's been an issue for a while, or do you think that that some of these accusations are overblown or taken out of context, as bad as that sounds?
Yeah, I think it has been going on for a while, and it's one of those things where everyone has to be heard, and they have to play out and get to hopefully the right decision as to whether it actually happened or didn't. But, you know, there's been just everything lately, just, you know, sexual misconduct, the racial tension. There's a lot of the comedy theaters that I was associated with are now going through tough times because it's all come to light. There's been these gender discrimination, racial discrimination, there's been sexual politics, and it's time someone has to pay for that. It has been going on for too long. It's been pushing too many people down, and, you know, I think we can be better than that. And, you know, it's time we start trying as humans to, let's get to the point where in the Star Trek story, where the world is one big, beautiful place and we're exploring, spreading love through the universe. We're not quite there yet.
Well, the problem with that analogy is when J.J. Abrams got a hold of the Star Trek universe, he exploded everything.
Yeah, but they still had kind hearts.
They did, but there was too much lens flare.
Oh, I see what you're saying. See? I think we could survive that.
We could. But one thing you survived happily. Oh, wait a minute, I'm a fucking idiot. Remember to edit this part. But one thing that when this tour comes back on, both these tours, I should say, will they be coming to Ireland?
I hope so. Brad and I went to Ireland maybe 3 years ago, went to the Galway Festival there and did some shows in Dublin. And yeah, we'd love to come back. And I believe there is plans for a UK and Ireland tour with Hip Prov. So by the time we get there, you should have the name down.
I think that name's already being used.
Oh.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen's got this comedy tour that he's in the works. It's really, really funny. I'm not you know what? I'll spoil the ending for you. Dead hooker.
Oh, damn. Well, you got to go with your strengths.
Well, you need to go have a great day, because I have bored the living shit out of you for way too long. But will we have one final Friday fart song?
Please.
We're going to let the great Colin Mochrie go. He's going to go partying on down with a bunch of hot babes and his bros at the hot dog stand. Colin, do you have any great listeners for all your fart fans out there?
Oh, that felt good.
He's a great man.
I've been holding that in for a while.
Colin's a great man. He's a dirty, dirty farter, and he's from Scotland.
Listen, Colin, thank you so much for your time. It's been so great to meet you. I've been a huge fan of Who's Lying for years, and I'd love to meet you in person one day, and we could have a breakdance contest, if possibly.
I am 62.
Show off.
I'll be breaking more than just my dance.
You could might break your hip, Prov.
There you go. You got it.
Listen, you have a great day, and stay safe and enjoy the Trump rally at the weekend.
You too, Adam, and enjoy the pubs when they open.
Oh, Jesus, I'm going to kill myself. It's going to be great.
Okay, thank you, Colin, I think his name was. Yeah, Colin. Recording this intro and outro has been an absolute disaster. I have no idea what's going on with me today. Hopefully it's COVID. Hilarious. Anyway, thank you for listening. Hopefully we'll be back very soon with the real episode. If I could get some fucking free time, we'll see. I've got a lot of pubs to go to, a lot of food to eat, a lot of PlayStation 5 to play. But more on that soon. There's going to be some type of an announcement. You'll see. And anyway, it's Husey. Bye-bye.